Today is November 30th, 2016, and this is episode number 387 of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Brian Chaffin, a rock, a font of wisdom, and an all-around great guy, and humble.
And I'm John Key, and I'm still cranky pants in chief. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit themacobserver.com/ACM. And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at acm@macobserver.com.
You know, John, I've had a blast with you filling in for Jeff this last month. He was here last week, but this is our third show.
Spare me the false statements there. I heard your last podcast with him and the wry, shall we say, sideways comments were aplenty.
Seriously? Are you serious?
Of course I am. Underappreciated. This is the story of my life.
Oh my goodness. Are you kidding, man? Like, not only have you been a rock star to fill in, you and I have been actually cooking up the idea of doing a separate, not necessarily Apple-specific podcast.
That's only because I know you need an outlet for your hate. It's bottling up, Brian.
The lady doth project too much, methinks, which is my favorite bastardization of Shakespeare of all time. I'm very proud of that one. I think that it's you who needs an outlet for your hatred. You're so kind. You're so nice. You're such a gentleman on this show, because I'm assuming it's because you love me. But you need the outlet for your, that's why you wanted to do something a little bit beyond the scope of what we're doing here, so that that hatred can just bubble forth in a cauldron of vileness to until you are happy.
I'm not going to say that's an unfair statement, but what I will say is, look, you know, unlike companies other than Apple that can produce multi-core machines, my cores are limited. And basically 90% of my cycles on this show are spent remembering not to curse.
Right, right.
And to try to find an alternative word for what naturally would spew out of my mouth.
And we would probably be a lot less family friendly in this other show.
Unless your family loves cursing, in which case it would be extremely family friendly.
All right. Well, you know, with that setup in mind, let's talk about something I know that's really going to bring out your cuddle factor. The state of Apple advertising. Isn't it fantastic?
Oh, good grief. Jesus Christ. The entire press corps needs to be – well, one, everyone in America really needs to be punched super hard in their face at least once to get a sense of balance. There's no balance in America. But the press in particular are such sycophants on Apple's advertising for so long. And this other loser with his article to tell me how great I should think these – ponderous.
Yeah, this other loser. You're referring to
loser
one
ads Ken, from Apple. Are.
You're referring to one Ken Segal, who was a close confederate and collaborator with what's that guy's name? Steve Jobs.
Yeah, you know, if you look close, you can still see the outline of Steve Jobs' hand on his face from being slapped around for being so stupid and wrong on so many points.
Are you kidding me? Steve turned to this guy for help with advertising. So all right. So what John is wrongfully talking about, what John is so incredibly in error about, is a piece that Ken Segal, who was the creative director at Apple and Next before that, and he was someone that Steve Jobs turned to for a long time when it comes to advertising. He wrote a piece on his personal blog looking at all of Apple's recent ads, including balloons, bulbs, Frankie's Holiday, which is the most recent one, Apple Music ad called Drake versus the Bench Press, and another spot called Dive. And he basically likes most of them. And John does not. John
no,
Keith.
Apple
John
hasn't Keith had a good ad in a long time.
Since Misunderstood.
They've had a mediocre ad not too long ago, but it's been mostly garbage. Garbage.
Dude, man,
horrible.
You were so,
horrible
listen,
advertising.
You were just I don't know what the heck it is that you're wanting from Apple's advertising.
Okay,
but Frankie's Holiday
that.
Is a great spot.
No.
It's terrible. It's terrible. Ponderous. Another ponderous, heavy-handed, let me tell you what the morality should be for you, annoying ad that has nothing to do with their products. And I know it's supposed to be their Christmas
ad.
It's the Christmas spot, but whatever. It's in a long line of just heavy, ponderous ads. So let me tell you what was cool and nice about some of the older ads. There was a lightness to them, kind of an upbeat, youthful joy to them. You could think of the old iPod ads with the silhouettes of people dancing. It was cool music. It was just simple. Here's the thing that's making you happy and dance. Very easy to understand. And the overall vibe is attractive. You want to be with that. You want your pull to that entire vibe and feeling. Look at the ponderous piece of stuff, balloons ad that they have. Beyond
balloons
it not really
awesome.
Showing the products well, and it's horrible homage to French cinema, which already has been, I think, properly buried in America for being the ponderous thing it is. It's joyless. Like the music is got this undertone of you should be and the mood of it is let us be pensive for you, you idiots. Let us give you some art because you're incapable of dealing with this. And here's how joy should manifest itself. Like, listen, keep your pie hole theory on life to yourself. Show me the freaking product and why I might be attracted to it. And I'm tired of this. You're so thoughtful. Listen, dude, if I wanted to be friends with some dude that was in a philosophy group therapy session and constantly hear about his heavy thoughts on how life should be, I'd go there. I don't need that
John,
from you.
Man,
what
just...
I need is some light ads that tell me why I might want to use this. And hey, you know why they might not be able to produce that other than a sheer lack of talent and Steve Jobs beating on this loser every day like he deserves to be. They don't have anything. They stop producing anything. So they have to make these art.
Okay, stop. One thing at a time. One thing at a time. First of all, on advertising, you were just so wrong. You were so astoundingly wrong. These branding spots. I remember the Misunderstood ad. Was a fantastic ad that was a
terrible
huge,
ad. It's the beginning of these ponderous
it was a
ads.
Huge success. In addition to being a great ad, it was a
success.
Huge success.
Did sales suddenly spike over the non-product that they were showing there?
Yeah, then 2013. Yeah, Apple had a good year.
You're just pulling that out of your post here. It didn't
2013,
spike.
Apple had a good year.
Yeah. Oh, so the general sales of that were all because of that ad.
No,
that's
but it's
your,
one
your
thing, man. It's one ad. Thing. I read.
Anyway, but you were asserting it was a successful ad, so it must have done something to be a success.
Okay, so there's one source that complained about that ad, and that was one John Devil's Advocate Keat. Everybody else loved that ad.
It's a piece of garbage ad. It is the beginning of this ponder says, oh, I don't understand. And you need to understand people that are how about just show me why I want to use this product? Not why this product might make it okay for me to be a misanthrope. I don't need Apple telling me about my style of life.
You know
and
who
how
you
I
remind me of? You know who? Oh, my God. Dude, the iPod spots that you were just praising were all about lifestyle. The iMac ads that Steve Jobs presided over
disagree.
Were all about lifestyle.
Disagree.
Well, okay, you can disagree all you want. You're wrong.
Disagree.
Okay, all right, next topic, I guess. What do you mean you disagree?
They weren't all just about lifestyle. They were showing the product. One, the outline of the product was constant through the whole thing. As a matter of fact, the white silhouette headphones became iconic because of it. It etched into people's brain that this is the product. You couldn't escape it. Here, you can't find the freaking product.
It's because it's a branding.
It fails on just the purpose.
They're branding it. It's like you don't understand the purpose of a branding ad.
So what we discussed is that you said it was all about lifestyle, but I'm like, no, it actually had the product and it made the product iconic. That's a big difference. And it didn't have ponderous music and overtones of what I should think. It told me, hey, when you have this product, you'll be dancing. Wouldn't you like to be dancing? And a lot of people are like, yeah, that's something I'd like to do. And maybe that ad got them into it. So it's completely different. I know. Stunned by the sheer brilliance and rightness of it. No, it's okay, Brian. This happens often.
I was distracted.
You don't have to be bad about yourself.
I was distracted by an incoming message. By the way, I apologize. The difference between those lifestyle product ads and the lifestyle the branding ads is that the iPod ads were actual product ads about the product. That presented a lifestyle. This is
you're done there. Now you've altered your statement. They're no longer just lifestyle ads. Like you,
I was wrong when I said it. When I said it was just when I said it was just lifestyle. What I actually said was it's all about lifestyle. Those product ads were all about lifestyle.
Other than the whole product being in them continuously.
They weren't necessarily. Well, I guess they were actually. Yes, they were.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. All right. So listen.
They were. You're right. The product was in the ad.
So let's simplify this so the big dog out there can understand what's going on. If you watch the Apple ads of the past when Jobs was around, you're generally happy. You leave them a little happier than you left. There was upbeat music, youthfulness. You kind of had a sense of what the product was. You kind of said, hey, that's a positive thing. I watch all these, and I feel like I've gone to a French cinema, palooza. And it's like I'm reading Russian literature. I don't need this ponderous, heavy vibe. I don't need to be more depressed about my life than I already am.
But that's exactly what you want. That's exactly what you thrive on, being less happy about your world than you were. I've known you for a long time, John Keith. Say that again. I'm sorry, say that again.
I used to watch Apple ads before and want to live more. These ads are awful. Not to mention they don't actually show the product. And when they do show the product, everyone is left scratching their head, is why the heck did I just watch this mess?
Yeah, I don't think everyone is like that at all.
We continue to agree to disagree. But anyway, you are in the majority, apparently, that these ads are a brilliant success.
Yeah, and Ken Siegel agrees with me.
Yeah, well, take solace in that. And notice the marks on his face. Because just like Johnny Ive is perfect in design without Steve Jobs around to smack him around.
Hey, I didn't say that.
All his design decisions thus far have been brilliant.
I didn't say that. Buttons
and stuff like that.
I don't think Jobs had that.
And beating Kendall and saying, listen, you dummy. This is not a good ad. I don't need to be depressed. I have you to deal with. It's depressing enough. Make a happy ad.
How is Frankie's Holiday depressing? Frankie's Holiday is uplifting.
Oh, good grief. Yeah. If you're already morbidly depressed, I guess it's a smidge above morbid depression. Just extreme depression. Not to mention this mythical captain where it has all these mixed accents.
May I have some more, sir? Would you like to see? Oh,
horrible. Horrible ad.
You kill me sometimes, John. You just have to kill me.
I've made you happier now than that ad did.
I think Frankie's Holiday was great. I think that I love the balloons ad. Here's what I wrote about the balloons ad. This came out in September. September 29th, I wrote, it's a lovely spot with some beautiful imagery. While the piece is very light on product imagery, the balloons are meant to be a metaphor about iMessage bringing people together. The tagline at the end of the spot is, quote, the all-new iPhone 7 with expressive messages, practically magic. Like I said, I think it's beautiful. I'd be curious to know what you think.
So one thing I will give is and people I think often confuse wonderful cinematography with goodness. Just because the cinematographer captured things technically well doesn't mean it's great. Like if you watch the last episode of the new was a Grand Tour, which was the old Top Gear, the cinematography is fantastic, but episode two was kind of stinky. So again, just because they got some nice shots. By the way, could it be more depressing, like the gray skies? They couldn't have done the balloons on a nice blue sky. Would that have been too much? Are they so depressed they can't find a moment in time that might have a blue sky in the background? No, we need to be all depressive. Oh, look at the contrast. But anyway, the cinematography on these things is really high quality. That's not the question. It's that they tell horrible stories that miss the point, that don't advertise, and are depressing. That's the problem. And they all suck. A lot.
Well, I guess we're going to have to agree to disagree. I mean, other than you being wrong, I think that these ads are fantastic.
Yeah. People are just lining up to buy these things because of these ads, I'm sure. Oh, God. I saw that Frankie ad. I really need to get a Mac. Oh, that's right. There was no Mac in that ad, but that's beside the point. Because they don't care about Macs, which is a whole other topic. Anyway, moving on to topic two.
Topic two is today's word of the day from dictionary.com. Laicism. Are you familiar with this word?
No, I'm not. What is it?
Laicism, actually. Laicism. It's L-A-I-C-I-S-M. This just came into my inbox, by the way. This is why I'm on about this. Laicism is, quote, the non-clerical or secular control of political and social institutions in a society, distinguished from clericalism. It's a great word. Never heard it. Never heard it before.
Yeah, never.
Laicism. All right, that's not really topic two. Topic two is actually Stephen Milanovic. Stephen Milanovic, the UBS analyst, and he did a little thing that you turned me on to. Why don't you actually pitch it?
So, you know, the idea here is I'm trying to think of the best way to pitch this. Milanovic, I think, kind of a while back on a call, he posed a question to Cook and says, hey, what's your theory for running Apple? Are you kind of, do you have a long-term look, outlook for things and building solutions and your product line, or are you more reactive to the market? And it was met with some derision in the way that Tim Cook answered. He's usually a pretty mellow fellow, and then, you know, he was still mellow by any normal person standard, but by people that watch the Tim Cook tea leaves, they felt that he was a little bit more grisly in his response. And he gave one of the typical Tim Cook meaningless answers to this that was so full of baloney.
Let's read that. His response was, we have the strongest pipeline we've ever had, and we're very confident about what's in it, I'm guessing. But we won't talk about what's in it. We have a strong sense of where things go, and we're very agile and able to shift where people need to.
So I apologize for any sirens you guys may hear. New York is New York. The strongest pipeline ever. So this is where I'm going to take some pure relish in using your own words to damn how full of stuff Tim Cook is. He always says we have the strongest pipeline. He has like five other Tourette's-like statements, about everything. And just he talks in nothing but barren platitudes all the time. He's so plastic that he makes Phil Schiller seem like a dynamic fella. And Phil Schiller is all about marketing speak and staying in the.
Because you have no sense of subtlety, John. You have no appreciation.
I have sense of real human beings and how real human beings talk, and no real human being talks like that unless there's something wedged so far up the posterior that it's intractable. And I don't think that's the case for either of these guys. They're very savvy and they talk in their platitudes and talking points incessantly, because I don't, you know, it almost seems like their brain wouldn't work if they had a color outside the lines. Anyway, that's a topic for another day. Where this is baloney is, he always says we have the strongest pipeline ever, you know, and I believe he made that statement several times in 2015, Brian, that he had the strongest pipeline ever. And yet you had an article recently about the lack of production in 2006. Ah, let me just enjoy that laugh. Oh, it's so yummy. So yummy. The tears of despair taste so delicious. You know, he said that several times in 2015 and 14, the strongest pipeline ever. And you had an article about their performance in 2016 product-wise. You want to give a little summary of how well they...
Yeah, I do. I do. And I have a response to you, but I'm actually looking for it. So in 2016... Apple released a staggering – actually, let's back up. In 2015, Apple released a medium year of 23 new products. 23 new products shipped in the year 2015. And I'm still looking for my article. There we go. And in 2016, Apple had a staggering 13 new products. 14 if you count the AirPods, but the AirPods haven't shipped and probably are not going to ship this year.
And
it's only November. In theory, Apple could release another 10 products in December, but you know, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And the title of my piece was this list proves Apple hasn't accomplished much in 2016.
And yet he promised us he had a great pipeline in 2014 and 15.
He promised, Brian.
I heard the words.
Here's the problem with your assertion here.
That I'm right and it kills you. I know that's the main problem with it.
The problem with your assertion is that you're assuming and projecting onto Tim that when he said that we had the strongest pipeline we've ever had, that he's referring to what they're going to release now or next year.
Sure. And he said the same thing in 2013 and 2012. So, you know, Brian, at what point does the production level have to be low enough for you to just conceive the point, which is so hugely heavy over you?
Listen, one of the points I made in my list article, looking at these things that Apple released, is that I am actually quite confident in Apple's long-term prospects of releasing significant new products. Right? The car may or may not see the light of day, but something is going to come out with a car. It may not be an Apple car, but all this work that Apple is doing is going to result in something significant, I believe. And I also believe that Apple is going to do something significant in the augmented reality space. These are two enormous projects within Apple that we know about. And to me, it's a no-brainer that there are additional projects in various stages of development within Apple that we know nothing about yet. The thing that I am tense about, the thing that you and I are actually in simpatico over, is Apple's ability to iterate its existing product lines while it works on these big picture products.
I don't believe you were originally simpatico to my Apple has utterly failed to scale meme that I started.
I was not. So
Please tell me what that must mean. That I was right.
Yeah, you were right about the iteration thing. I am increasingly frustrated.
Does that by definition make you about that topic early on?
Oh, wrong. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So consider have that past.
Listen, hold on a second. I've never had a problem admitting when I was wrong. When I see that I was wrong, I cop to being wrong.
I totally agree.
I have a strong track record in that regard.
Yes, you do. That doesn't mean I take any less pleasure.
All right,
Why would you make that false conclusion?
That's okay. That's a fair point. I'm going to give you that. And to be fair, you were definitely seeing this before a lot of people were seeing this. This idea that Apple is your original piece was Apple's failure to scale, complete failure to scale. I think that was what the title was. And your argument is that Apple has gotten bigger, and the way you've actually put it recently, and I quoted you last week when I was talking to Jeff about some of these things, is that you're saying that Apple is doing less and less with more and more.
Yeah, and you know, I love your 2016 piece about, you know, their production being roughly half. There you go, Jeff. Roughly half of what it was the year prior. But if you really wanted to depress yourself, go and do that for 2009 or 2010 when Jobs was still around and hitting on all cylinders. There were significant updates to iWorks and other things, and he was iterating every year.
Yeah,
right?
every
you get a tick thing, out of it.
The big thing was that every Mac was being iterated every year.
But also the software. I mean, there was a point where iLife and iWorks were really – and we're not talking about, oh, here's a bug fix kind of release that we see with iTunes. That we were getting really significant feature upgrades in those products as well.
And Logic and Aperture and Final Cut Pro were being upgraded too.
Yeah, and iPods were still being regularly iterated even in meaningful ways. So so his whole line about pipelines, you can disagree, but you know, you've disagreed with me before, and we see what the results of that are.
Come on, dude. Come on. You revel in being right on this one thing. That's fine. Go ahead.
So
still wrong about advertising, but go ahead.
Mm-hmm. It brings into question what I've said is that he just talks in these marketing platitudes. This strong pipeline is just that, and it's been proven out by their performance in 2016. Because by no standard of Apple's past performance can that be viewed as a strong pipeline.
Well, but a pipeline extends off into the future.
You can't damn
Apple's entire pipeline by what it released in 2016.
He's made that same pipeline talk from 2012 and 13 and 14 and 15 and 16.
And 2012, 13, 14, and 15 were fine years.
Regard to hitting 2016 was clearly off. He didn't have a strong pipeline. Not having a new Mac from 2013 when he made that statement, and there's still no new Mac Pro? And there's still no Mac Mini. And the iMac has a pitiful 3 terabyte drive, which, again, is the most unreliable iteration of that drive in the history of man, is the one that they choose to stick with.
You say, again, that point actually hasn't been made on the show. You made that point in our tech iMessage group that you have put together, but you have not made that point here.
The 3 terabyte drive? I have. You just can't hear amongst the volume of all my other rantings, but I guarantee you I made that point. But anyway, so in 2013 when he made that statement, what freaking awesome drugs was he on? There's nothing to say because he didn't have a strong pipeline.
The audacity of your. Of your rhetorical nonsense here is staggering to me. You're wanting to invalidate this claim based on 1 year, this year, which admittedly sucked.
Dude, we are battered housewives because you're looking at 2015 as if it was some amazing performance, considering no Macs were updated in meaningful ways, just for iterations, as some kind of milestone. I said, let's compare. I would encourage you to do your exercise again for 2009.
Well, to be fair, Adam Christensen did the work on compiling the list.
So let's have Adam. You know, I'd encourage Adam to do it and see how horrified you are that you were thinking 2015 was an awesome year when there was no updates to Macs, when the entire Mac rumors don't buy this Mac was just blood red completely. At least now we have one green dot with the MacBook Pro. It was completely red, and you're like, wow, that was an awesome year. That's how battered you are. Dude, you are – it's not even Stockholm Syndrome at this point. Just a beaten housewife.
No, abused. We've got to throw in there, and this is sort of broaching a little bit on the next topic, but let's not go too far on that. We've also got to throw in the fact that not only has Apple not released much this year, it's actually canceled two product lines.
Yeah.
Well, it's officially canceled one product line, the standalone display.
Things are looking up with AppleScript 2. They didn't cancel it. Everything is great. Nothing to see here. Awesome stuff going on.
But there's
You hold on to that statement by Federici. Well, we're not going to put a bullet in it. Is basically a statement. We're not going to just take this seal out back and club it to death. Aren't you happy about that? Aren't you thrilled we only got rid of the head evangelist and programmer and developer of this stuff, and we're not killing it completely? Aren't you going to give us big smoochies for that? You battered people. Come on, thank me appropriately.
But there's also John is referring to Sal Segoyan, who whose job was eliminated by Apple, and his job was heading up automation, Mac automation in particular, and that's what John's referring to there. But then there's also, of course, the airport line, which Apple has redeployed all of its engineers to other projects.
And once again, the long line of Apple pundits and apologists, I'm sorry for being redundant because basically they're all apologists, have just kind of say, it don't matter. It don't matter. We're getting rid of that. They didn't officially say it yet. So, you know, we can take solace in that for a while. We can live under our delusion that things are going to be better any minute now.
I'm tense about the display. I'm tense that Apple didn't keep up on displays. And I'm tense that Apple sold the Cinema display for as long as it did. It's really annoying, the idea of having to have something, some ugly third-party product on my
desk. Oh my God, that LG monitor is hideous. All it says when you buy that is, I clearly have no respect for design whatsoever. That's what I have.
John's referring to the LG display that was shown as an example of a great 5K display.
And you know how battered we are, dude? We're so battered that thing is sold out in 2 minutes because, well, Apple at least pointed to it and said that you can get that, you animals, you filthy, dirty animals. Go ahead and buy that out, and it's sold out. And everyone's going to point to that as a success. The same apologists that used to say that Apple's monitors were overpriced pieces of garbage relative to what you can get for the same amount, which is true. But at least they were pretty. Are now the dudes that are saying, well, why would you want to get an Apple monitor when it was so outdated? Well, one, isn't that a problem that it was so outdated? That isn't an excuse for them to drop it. Maybe if we had standards a little bit higher of, well, they didn't update that monitor for 9 years. So, of course, it makes sense for them to get rid of it. What a ridiculous, illogical construct. How about we have standards a little bit above sludge? How about, hey, Apple, actually update your monitors more frequently? Maybe that would have been a solution.
Yeah,
well, that's not a justification for dropping it. It's like saying, you know what? I've been doing so poor in school because I've decided never to do homework or take tests, and the results are bad. So why wouldn't I drop out? Why wouldn't I drop? As if the other option to study harder and work harder were not a reasonable option. No, we're just going to give
weird?
Up because that's the way to do it, because I've been giving up for so long. Why wouldn't I completely give up?
What's
that's
weird,
clearly the answer.
What's weird is that Apple has this best-in-class iMac 5K thing going on. That's the weird thing. That's the thing I couldn't get about
this. You mean the 3-terabyte drive?
The what?
With that awesome 3-terabyte drive?
Yes, but the display is awesome.
It's very nice.
I've got one on my desk now.
It is a great display. And when you got it early on, so it wasn't the drive wasn't as horribly out of date as it is now. But
it's worse. I've got a 512 gig SSD. Like I'm some kind of animal.
Yeah. Sorry about that. But Yeah, so the low expectations. I mean, this is just the Chris Rock thing of like, you don't get a cookie for dumping your monitor. You're not supposed to dump your monitor. You're supposed to update your monitor. The entire point of this company is to make stuff that is designed nicely, and then having this atrocious sub slime version of the LG black plastic monitor on your desk with your pretty other stuff is a joke. It is not a reasonable state of affairs. I don't need Apple to reinvent the universe when it makes a monitor. Just make it pretty and match my furniture. That's what I'd like from you. And not really a high mark to jump and vault over there. Just, hey, here's a thought. Update the screen to be 4K. Oh, it's difficult to make it 5K. Who cares? Make it 4K until it's easy to make it 5K. But put a nice case around it. That's all you had to do just to sell this stuff. And this notion of like, well, now that Apple's giving up AirPort, that's cool because they're not adding a lot to it. First of all, it's technically completely inaccurate. But beyond being wrong on the technical front, I don't care. I go to Apple because I like buying all the same stuff. It matches. And I get to only blame one entity for when things go wrong. I don't have to do what we used to mock the Windows side of, oh, well, I don't know if it's the operating system or the hardware, and each vendor points at the other, and you can never get anything solved. I didn't have to do that with my networking issues because it was all one vendor, and Apple had to fix it, but no longer because they won't be doing that. And so I look forward to everyone's networking nightmares when they went in, like all the geeks think like, oh, every person that gets Wi-Fi needs to have the bleeding edge mesh, whatever. No, they don't care. They just want to get online. It doesn't matter if they only get 10 megabits at the corner of their house because it's enough for their three web pages that they visit.
All right, stop. Mesh networking is a lot more than just that. It's also about managing the traffic and having traffic handled by devices where it's appropriate, and also having those devices be able to manage who can do what and where it's happening, and even in some cases watching whether or not you've got rogue devices on your network that are part of a botnet. These are all things that are part of mesh networking. All of those things are actually important, and all of those things are going to be an important part of home networking going forward.
No, because the average dude at home doesn't care about any of that. What the average dude does when something goes wrong, they basically put a bullet in it and buy a new one to replace it until it gets corrupted to heck as well.
No.
And all they want to do is get online. They don't need this complication.
See, that's the thing, John, is that we have more and more and more and more and more devices in our homes that are being used, that are using the network. And this is where mesh networking is going to be important. So one of the points that Dave Hamilton made is that when Apple first released the AirPort base station, it needed to, because Apple was doing Wi-Fi when there were no Wi-Fi base stations. And what has happened is, rightly or wrongly, Apple has allowed the Wi-Fi industry to get ahead of where Apple is. And the Apple can either invest the resources it needs to catch up, and one can argue that they shouldn't have fallen behind in the first place. I get that argument. Apple can either do that, or Apple can actually sit and look at the fact that home networking is not one of its core areas. It's one of its areas of core competency, and get out. I'm not okay with Apple getting out of the display business. That makes me cranky. I'm not okay with the possibility that automation and OS X is going into maintenance mode at best. I'm not okay with either one of those things. I am a lot more sanguine about Apple getting out of the AirPort business.
So I disagree. So for one thing, here's one thing that none of those routers can do, the mesh or otherwise. Apple routers let you put in your Apple ID on your local router, not up in the sky to be cracked instantly within minutes by hackers, like on these mesh cloud-based solutions like the Eero. And it lets you from anywhere in the world not only find your Mac, but also log into your Mac and get the drive access to the drives there. It's fantastic, and on your time capsule as well. None of these routers have that feature. And even if they did, frankly, I don't trust Eero or any of these other makes to have my Apple ID password and that they're going to manage it fine. So it doesn't offer simplicity like that on a technical level. The other thing is, so beyond, again, you're while Dave is correct that, you know, Apple had to make base stations to sell wireless initially, it's a non sequitur. That means that they just have to let it go because they started the industry. And it's not, again, it's kind of that low expectations theory. It's like, well, since they've let it go, the obvious thing to do is just to stop making it. Well, how about Apple has plenty of dough? They can pay a team to keep updating this. And to look at this space and say, I'm out of ideas. I don't know how I could possibly – forget the mesh. The mesh is so boring. It's solving a very mediocre level problem of having good bandwidth and load balancing and quality of service. I mean, stuff that no human being cares about or should ever have to care about, frankly, because it's such a menial technical issue.
But that's the point of mesh. That's what these mesh routers are solving. Is they're making it a non-issue for people.
No, but my point is that's so low-level thinking. The fact that Apple looks at this space and says, I got no ideas even beyond those menial ones to say, well, how about some home automation stuff? How about some Alexa-level stuff? How about, something that would let me update all my devices and manage them in an easier way because I have a billion of them now? That they look at this space and say, I've got zilch to add. I've pulled out in a minute out of my posterior three things that would be awesome. And they looked at the space with their big freaking brains and says, I'm out. I got nothing to add here. And it's certainly not for lack of resources. This is the richest company there is on earth. Well, they can do this. And it's inexcusable that they give up on this stuff when there is so much more to be done to make our lives better. It just shows that they are exhausted intellectually. They are pathetic. They look at that touch bar, and it's a great little feature. But they actually have deluded themselves that this is somehow a new milestone in laptops. That's how deluded they are. They think that's a great idea. That's their sense of scale. Touch bar, freaking revolution in Apple's mind. That's how low level, that's how lowly aspirational they are these days. It's horrendous that these people let this go. Beyond my own petty self-centered problem of I don't want to have do port forwarding now to deal with this Find My Mac and making my stuff available, which was done automatically in the past. So now I'm going to be hoarding these AC routers until like AZ comes out and it's so much better that I have to upgrade. And the Eero is a non-starter. Dave did a phenomenal job with the Mac Geek Gab, by the way, podcast with John, really breaking down a lot of the features here. And he did a great article. You know, he saved me countless hours of pre-digesting and chewing and stuffing down my throat, massaging down my throat, all the food that I need to know about this. But it's horrendous. The one that he recommends the most is the Eero. It's cloud managed, which means, yeah, it's great. You can now log into Eero.com and manage your mom and dad's network that they can't do. But you know what? It's not a question of if. It's a question of when that honeypot's going to be hacked versus hackers having to individually hack your home. Now they got one-stop shopping for all that. So there's not a chance on earth I'm going to that solution. And the notion, you know, Dave touched upon this is like, well, you know, they kind of anonymously monitor your traffic. Oh, I'm sure once they're hacked, that won't be abused. Oh, no way. So all those great adult sites you visit, I'm sure the hackers will have no interest in any of that. That's perfectly anonymized. I'm positive. Oh, yeah, that's going to work out great. And there's no way to opt out of it, by the way, when you get the Eero. So I'll be rushing right over to get that. So this notion that these are okay, these alternatives are okay, is ludicrous. And it's ludicrous that they're forgetting any of the technical decisions. They have infinite money and they have no ideas to improve things. That's a problem that they let this lapse and the monitor lapse. Not to mention these are super high margin. If we all agree that Apple makes cruddy level monitors before, that they charge huge prices. So let me get this straight. You have an audience begging you to sell them on margins that are like 60-70% that you're making. You're like, no, I'm too tired, man. I can't. I'm just tired of raking in all your money. I just can't deal with it. I don't want to rake in that more. This is a problem that every other monitor company on earth is wants to shoot itself when they hear about it. And Apple's like, no, yeah, we just don't want to deal with it. Too much effort listen, to rake that much dough.
Listen, instead of us doing a separate podcast, I want you to do the podcast. I'm just going to sit back and I'm just going to
push my button.
listen to all of your hate and vitriol spew forth from my speakers and just revel in the John Keats show.
Just engage the rant-o-matic.
I'll send you a text with a couple of topics, and then you record and I'll listen.
Dude, I didn't used to be this just.
That's true. You used to be very very Apple. You used to defend Apple and attack its critics heavily, and now you've become one of Apple's biggest critics.
Yeah, because they're doing less and less with more and more, and that is a problem overall. I hope. You know, by the way, I'm a big hope. I'm like you, in that you know I'm still hopeful. I don't see any excuse for all the constant reduction of features and iWorks and cutting all these products. I am still hopeful that come hopefully by middle of 2017 we'll see. There'll be very little excuse for them not to have revamped the rest of the Macs. Maybe we'll – I'm not even so aspirational. That's how low expectations are for Apple, that there's the new thing, the new Apple Watch, the new big thing. That, you know, that's not reasonable to expect that so frequently. Just some good iteration is all I want to see. And I'm hoping that 2017, I mean, it can't be too much lower than 2016 was for a product shipping bar. So I'm hopeful that it'll improve. You know, Apple, the sad thing is, as bad as they are, it's still so much better than the alternative. Like every time I seriously look at like getting Windows or whatever, I just take a second fork and start gouging my, you know, eyeballs out with it instead of just the one fork when I'm doing it.
So you're saying that as frustrated as you are with Apple, it's still infinitely better than the competition.
Well, I don't know. It used to be infinitely better, but it's not infinitely better anymore, but it's certainly significantly better. You know, I did play with everyone starting to finally catch up with my little mini review of the Studio Surface from Microsoft, and it's very compelling hardware. The software is still not there, but they're on the right track. And I thought, you know, I'll get this toy to play with, but I just played with it enough and I'm like, oh my God, I can't deal with this software. I can't deal with when I want to kill myself every time I'm forced to use this thing. So it's tough. It's tough in that now my real serious thing is I'm investigating different versions of Linux. There's one that's kind of Apple-ish to deal with. But again, it's such a disaster. So Apple is, you know, less of a disaster than the other major disasters. But talk about damning with faint praise. There's no excuse for it. The amount of money they have, the amount of resources they have, the quadrupling of employees they have, the more than quadrupling of R&D budget they have. They now spend 2x of IBM's R&D budget. There's no excuse that they can't get such basic things like product iteration every year down. It's just not an excuse for it. Especially, it's obscenely more damning to Tim Cook. Tim Cook is a guy that's known for making the trains run on time, and he has failed utterly to make the Mac train run on time to iterate it every year. There's just no excuse for it. I don't want to hear about, well, the Intel chip update wasn't as good as we'd like. We'd only have two channels of Thunderbolt 3 instead of 4. I don't care. Give me at least that. I mean, we're so starved for this stuff that we're buying horrid plastic LG garbage and saying, thank you, dude. You threw us this bone. So now these same idiots are saying, well, we really want better. And then when we don't get it, they'll be the first to apologize for why you didn't want that anyway. It's ludicrous. There's no excuse for not iterating these products once a year. It's pathetic. I generally spit in all their direction.
So one thing that I've been tossing around, you and I have touched on this before, is one of your original points in your Apple's failure to scale argument is that Apple needs to let the B team iterate.
Yeah, you know,
let me get to my
question. I'm sorry, go ahead.
One of Steve's big tenets was ruthlessly weeding out the B team because the B team drags down the whole company. And it's like if we want to talk about if we want to go down the rat hole of what Steve would have done and saying that Apple needs someone like Steve to be able to slap people around and stuff, then you gotta sort of address that issue. You can't. I don't think you can say that Steve would have had these new products coming out, and at the same breath say that Apple needs to have the B team iterating stuff because Steve didn't tolerate the B team.
So there's a little more nuance to, and I think you took a fair, if not somewhat kind of simplified version of my solution. So first of all, I'm not saying, you know, all of a sudden lower your standards and start hiring B and C players. I was being somewhat facetious in my rants of saying, look, if the A people can't get to it because they're so busy with their wrist strap development, that maybe even a B person could have gone from a 2.2 to a 2.4 gigahertz processor iteration, right? You don't need an AP team player for it. So while that may be, I think, a very appropriate facetious slap upside the head of Apple for their incredible focus on wrist strap development, it doesn't mean that I'm actually advocating for them to start hiring B team people, just that B team people could handle that. My point is, you may have a team that's all A people that's focused on figuring out what the next big thing is. You could still have another team of really good people that their only job is, hey, for the next year, you're the guys that are doing iteration on this product.
Yeah, but we have to look at, so you mentioned that Apple's headcount has grown dramatically, but the reality is that Apple's executive team has not grown dramatically. Now, Apple's executive team has expanded. But certainly that core, you know, inner circle has not expanded. And that, I think, is where
bottleneck.
The bottleneck could be happening, but also where some of the B team thing could be actually be at play. I mean, because the reality is this. I also want Apple to iterate these existing products. I want new Macs every year. Even if they're not, I want new Macs every year. And it's infuriating to me that Apple is not iterating its Mac line. And it's infuriating to me that Apple got out of the display business. And it's infuriating to me that Apple may let automation take a back seat. It's infuriating to me that HomeKit is problematic and not the thing that it should be. It's infuriating to me on a lot of levels that Apple is not fulfilling all of the promise of all of the things that it's doing. And the question is, what does Apple actually sacrifice if it's going to try to meet all of that promise? Because something's got to give. You either have to let more people onto the team. You have to let that executive team be bigger. You've got to not have a big focus on the big, huge new products that are going to be coming out. Something somewhere has got to give. What's given so far has been the iteration. What's the thing that has given way so far are Macs in particular, and apparently airport base stations, and apparently iWorks, and apparently displays. That's what's given so far, and we're not happy with that. But the reality is that I think something else would end up having to give if it wasn't those Macs, and we probably wouldn't be happy about that either.
Well, what you're kind of getting to is the impossibility of a company to be both innovative and iterative at the same time. And I don't think that that is – it may be in fact what has happened with Apple, but I don't think that that is an axiom that needs to hold true. And I think that if any company has been well charged to solve that problem – it's Apple with all the success and the resources they've had to solve that. And considering they in some sense they solved this problem before, and maybe some egos are getting in the way of it. Jobs used Cook well. He said, Cook, you're going to do this boring stuff of keeping the trains on schedule. I need that. It's important. And you're going to go and do what it takes, and you have my blessing and support. And I'm going to focus on, like the you know, 4-year-old toddler with ADD, on the next shiny thing that I want to develop. And he kind of created a structure that let that happen well. I mean, again, if you go back to 2009 and 2010, the sheer volume of new product iteration and production was impressive. And that didn't slow the fact that in 2009 to 2010, he also released an iPad, right? You can do both. And the question is, Tim Cook probably is not the visionary dude where he can do both, perhaps. And at some point, you need to be honest with yourself and say, I've got to create a different structure to allow this. And it's okay to have failure. I'm not saying, oh my gosh, it's incredible. Like, this should never have happened. And that's why I am somewhat hopeful. Yeah, 2016 was an abysmal production year. But I'll tell you what doesn't help. All of the jerks in the press, and I say that for everyone other than people that I've had podcasts with or that I've talked to directly, constantly apologizing for this low expectation production and making excuses for it just encourages Apple to continue to do so and not solve it.
I don't think Apple cares about what we say, man.
Oh, yeah, they do. Mm-hmm. I disagree. When it becomes a big enough stink, they react. And when everyone just says, oh, that's okay, get rid – if there was universal screaming, how dare you get rid
there
of
was airport, universal. There was universal screaming about the headphone jack, and Apple didn't care.
Yeah, that's somewhat different. And I guarantee you what would be different is the screaming beforehand and the screaming after matters. So when everyone screamed about the floppy and then nobody cared once the floppy was dumped, because people were fine without it, Apple said, "Yeah, we were right."
No, but there was a year or two where people were still screaming. Apple was getting criticism about not having a floppy from outside of the Mac community for 2 or 3 years.
Well, who cares about outside the Mac community? The problem is if it's inside the Mac community, and I think most users haven't been using floppies that were Mac users for a long time. Now with the port, you know, I always thought people were nuts. Like this problem is ludicrous. I have my oh my God, I can't use my thing. I'm like, just leave the dongle they give you tied onto your headphones. Problem is solved. Oh, I can't do both at the same time. I'm like, all right, for the, you know, 1 millisecond a year that's a big issue, boo-hoo. But most of the time it's not. So the reality is that people just got over it. It's not a big deal. People like to talk about all kinds of meaningless stuff for clickbait. I am among them. So that doesn't mean that there's an actual point to it other than I'm going to attract attention to myself and make 3 cents more on my clickbait ad revenue. But for real people using this stuff, it's not an issue. They slapped on the dongle and forgot it's on there. Now it's on there all the time. Problem solved. And but there are other issues that Apple's had to deal with when people continued to say it was a problem and Apple had to react. One was the problem when Apple didn't listen about, you know, DVD rippers, CD-ROM ripping. And it was like, we're right. We need to – and this was a Steve Jobs issue too. You need to have a DVD player and burn and make DVD movies. And everyone's like, no, I need to rip CDs and get my music. And eventually they pivoted. So they can react, but the more slack you give them – the more they'll concede that this is just another time that we were right and everyone was wrong.
All right, folks, Kajan, we're out of time. So I'm going to ask our listeners to let us know what they think either at Context Machine on Twitter, or you can write us at acm@macobserver.com. I'd like to know what you think about all this stuff. I think that John crossed a delved into a wide swath of areas. So, you know, pick whatever's on your mind and let us know what you think. So thanks for being here again this week, man. You've been a trooper filling in for Jeff.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me. I'm shocked that you had me back, frankly, but it's always nice to chat.
I like talking to you about being wrong about advertising. And on that note, and that's my dirty outro and this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write us at acm@macobserver.com, and thanks for listening.
Our content is written by the people at the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly, and the bass is by Boom, recorded for TMO. That's all this week.
Stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer.